done this, but it didn't matter. Anyway, welcome to C3 Stand. We love having you here and all the other visitors that have come, not for them, but they're here anyway. So welcome. Welcome for visiting here. And I'd like to introduce... am I here? Oh, okay. Mr. and Mrs. McCarter. Yeah. We had the best time marrying this couple last weekend in Sydney and meeting their, am I really loud now? Oh, meeting their family. You've got a beautiful family. You had a beautiful wedding. You're a beautiful couple. And I know I had so many people going, we miss them, bring them home. And you're home. And congratulations. So it was very, we loved being in Sydney with you guys. We loved meeting your family. We loved every minute of it. So welcome back as a newly married couple. So that was awesome. Anyway, so I'm not going to come up here and do announcements, but if you do want quiz tables, you guys have to buy quiz, if you want a table, buy tickets, and we need to organize tables. And we're doing our series, our summer series, an hour, and everybody else went over time. I'm going to try not to. But everybody else did, so you've got to give me a little bit of grace. But anyway, it's meant to be an hour service, and it's really, for people who don't know, it's whatever God has laid on our hearts for C3 Stand. So that's what the free flow is. So I haven't given any sort of, this is what you're speaking on. It's whatever God has given the speakers for this time, and that's what they're giving you. So next week we have Sky, then we have Pastor Michael, then we have our worship morning coming up on the 9th of February. Then after that, we're going to be speaking about 2025 and what God's given us. So that's sort of like, this is what we're doing for the next few weeks. That's what we're excited about. And so we know Pastor Elton spoke about being chosen. That's what he started off with. And Pastor Paul spoke about transformation. And you guys did origamis. That was pretty cool. Taylor, there's Wi-Fi on the plane now. I didn't know, but there is. And Taylor sent me a video live while you guys were doing the origami. So I got to see it while you guys were doing it. But I love the analogy that we are at the discretion if we allow ourselves to be created by the Creator. And we're folded certain ways if we allow ourselves to be folded, unfolded, and then created by Him if we allow it. I just love that analogy. So there was no point in me going, well, I tried. God, what do you want me to say? When He's already given this word for 2025. So transitional was the word for last year, and we knew that on top of every other word that God gave us. Everything we did was transitional. This year, the word is transformational. That's really what He's given us. So there's going to be layers on top of layers that's going to be with the transformational, but it's not just in a church together, but it's individual. Because so many of you went through different transitions last year with different things. So I truly wholeheartedly believe that transformation is going to happen for each of you individually this year, as well as it is together. So this is sort of like a prelude to an intro that's going to happen in a few weeks. That's sort of what's going to happen. All right, thank you, Father. We just thank you for this word. We thank you that it's yours. Thank you that it lands on every heart, Father, that you encounter every heart, God, and that they leave with something that you've encountered for them this morning, God. May they meet you and may you meet them exactly where they're at. In Jesus' name, amen. So, we are reading this morning from Mark 8. I'm going to try not to read fast so I can get through it. Mark 8, 1 to 21. Feeding the 4,000. In those days, the multitude being very great and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to him and said to them, I have compassion on the multitude because they have now continued with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away hungry to their own houses, they will faint on the way, for some of them have come so from afar. Then his disciples answered him, how can one satisfy these people with bread here in the wilderness? He asked them, how many loaves do you have? And they said, 7. So he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves and gave thanks, broke them and gave them to his disciples to set before them, and they set them before the multitude. They also had a few small fish, and having blessed them, he said to them, also before them. So they ate and were filled, and they took up seven large baskets of leftover fragments. Now those who had eaten were about 4,000, and he sent them away, immediately got into the boat with his disciples and came to the region of Dalmanutha. Then the Pharisees came out and began to dispute with him, seeking from him a sign from heaven, testing him. But he sighed deeply in his spirit and said, "Why does this generation seek a sign? Assuredly, I say to you, no sign shall be given to this generation." And he left them, and getting into the boat again, departed to the other side. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, and they did not have more than one loaf and with them on the boat. Then he charged them, saying, "Take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod." And they reasoned amongst themselves, saying, "It is because we have no bread." But Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, "Why do you reason because you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive, nor understand? Is your heart still hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember? When I broke the five loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments did you take up?" They said to him, 12. "Also, when I broke the seven for the 4,000, how many large baskets of full fragments did you take up?" They said, 7. So he said to them, "How is it you do not understand?" There's so much in that, but there's only a couple of points that I'm bringing up, but I had to read all of that. Do you not remember? I don't know how many of you were here on Christmas Eve, but we had a moment in Psalm 126 where it says, "Remember the great things the Lord has done." And we went through Advent, and one of the key things to being a person who lives out of God's joy is remembering the great things the Lord has done. And we spoke about going through our phones and seeing how far we've come from different places in our lives, because the enemy wants us to forget. So much in the Bible, when God speaks about the Passover or Pentecost or communion, everything of who he is was a reminder over and over and over again, because he wanted us to remember all of the stuff he did. The enemy wants you to forget, so then it puts doubt. How many of us have gone through something in our lives and then God's come through? You wouldn't be here if God hadn't come through at some moment in your life. But then the next time you go through something, did you feel any less anxious? If he came through with the provision of finances, for example, and he comes through, but the next time you feel a little bit like, "Oh, I need some finances here, Lord," you're a little bit anxious again. Does it make us feel any less anxious? We can tell ourselves, "Oh, but he came through last time, but I'm here again, Lord, where are you?" Because the enemy wants us, he creates this disillusion in us, and we go, "I have a bit of doubt. Did he really come through for you? Is he really going to come through for you again? Did he really say that? Did he really do that?" And then we start to remember the times he didn't, versus where it says, "Remember the great things the Lord has done." So the whole idea of the joy of the Lord is for us to remember everything that he has done. And when you look at the disciples, they had just seen this miracle. They come with one loaf. They reason. What he says to them is because we forgot the bread. They forget immediately. As a world and as people, we forget Christmas pretty quickly. We lead up to Christmas. The day after Christmas, we're all complaining there's hot cross buns in the shops. And we complain about it. And I heard someone say one day on Facebook, "Well, at least the world's still celebrating Jesus." So then you go, okay, you let it go. Hot cross buns are in the shops. Everyone's still celebrating Jesus. The world's still celebrating Jesus. But hot cross buns leads to the fact that Easter's coming. Christmas decorations leads to the fact Christmas is coming. Everything leads to something. It should lead to something. The signs in what Jesus did should lead to something. When he was doing these miracles I've probably gone way off where I meant to be, but when he did these miracles, these signs should lead to something. When you leave here today, the one thing that we're going to go into is everything that God has done for you. Has it led you to go, God, I want to know your ways? When is the last time you sat there with God and said, Lord, teach me your ways? I want to know your ways. Because we can get so caught up in the next sign, we can get so caught up in the next deliverance, we can get so caught up in the next prayer answered, we can get so caught up in the next miracle, and they're all fruits. But we can get so caught up in seeing it, we can get so caught up in the next conference high, we can get so caught up in the next great preach, we can get so caught up in the next thing that makes me feel fluffy, we can get so caught up in the next everything that we miss where it's leading us to. Elton and I had a few hours on a Saturday afternoon in Sydney. We were following signs. We did 30,000 steps in that one afternoon. Don't know where we were going. Following signs to where? We were trying to lead somewhere. We got somewhere. We were like, this isn't where we really wanted to go. Let's go somewhere else. Leading signs to where? Signs are meant to lead somewhere. If Easter never came, what was the point of the hot cross buns? If they never showed up. It's meant to lead somewhere. And Jesus says to them, do you not remember? Have you not seen? When Jesus asked the disciples, do you not remember? How many baskets did you pick up at the 5,000? And then at the 4,000? He says, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, beware of the leaven of Herod. Then they reasoned amongst themselves, saying, it is because we have no bread. But Jesus, being aware of it, says to them, why do you reason because you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive nor understand? Is your heart still hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember? Do you not see who's in the boat with you? Do you not see? All of that should have led them to know who they had in the boat with them. And we can sit here and read this word and go, why didn't they see who they had in the boat with them? It's the same with us. Everything, you're all sitting here because he saved you. But yet you're probably going through something that you're going, Jesus, I need you to come through for me. But you all have him sitting in the boat with you. You all actually have him in your heart. So different, they had him in the boat. We have him actually living in us. But if we knew his ways and we knew who he was, we wouldn't be so anxious as people in everything that we go through. So what's blocking it? So the leaven. So I want to talk about the leaven a little bit. So leaven, small, stick it in, spreads. It can just be a small seed that gets in our heart and it spreads and it blocks. So they obviously couldn't see to remember what he had just done, the miracles that he had just done. So it can block the way we perceive things. It can block our reality. It can block how we how we see life, how we see what the next person's done, how we see, how we filter things, how we filter what someone says, how we filter how someone acts. When that gets into our heart and it spreads, so Herod, the leaven of Herod is like humanism. So it's power, it's political, it's man at the center. So you can say you believe in God, just don't bring it. You can say you believe in God, it's just superficial, right? Then so it's me at the center, basically. Man at the center, it's about man. Then you've got the leaven of the Pharisees. So the Pharisees are known to be hypocrites. The Pharisees are known to be about religious do's and don'ts. And it's not a personal relationship with God. So either one of those blocks you with a personal relationship with God. So if you're at a point where you're going, I don't have this relationship with God, or God, you're not doing this for me, or you're in the way, or something's blocking you here, he's saying beware of those two things. Beware of those two things that can block. So not knowing the true relationship with Jesus. So both ways, both of these ways are pride. So either us at the center or we're so concerned about the do's and the don'ts. Both of those don't have an intimate relationship with Jesus. So both will stop us knowing the true ways of God. So when your next trial comes or whenever you, whatever you face, you don't remember. You're doubtful. You're a bit fearful. You don't know how to face it. You don't understand who's in the boat with you. So Psalm 103:7, he made known his ways to Moses and his deeds to Israel. And Exodus 33:13, Moses asks, if you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. So Moses wasn't satisfied with just seeing God's deeds. Israel was satisfied with just seeing God's deeds. So we can be people who are satisfied with seeing God do stuff for us and leave it there. We can be satisfied with that. God, you answered, I'm a believer. You answered, I'm a believer. God, can you be there for me? God, can you do this? God, can you do that? It's like being in a relationship with someone. You serve them until you don't, and then you don't have a relationship anymore. But the person's satisfied while you're serving them until you don't. Israel was that. Give me manna until I'm not satisfied. Give me meat till I'm not satisfied. Water from a rock, I'm satisfied. Until I'm not. Until I'm not. Until I'm not. Until I'm not. They had every invitation to get to know him. Every act, every sign, every miracle, every deed that happens to them, that happens to you, is an invitation for us to go, God, show me your ways. You have gone through things. There are people that have gone through things that are here that are devastating. And it doesn't take it away. But God, show me your ways. Because the only way you're going to get through life is by knowing his ways, is by knowing who he is. Because life's circumstances are going to kill you and they're going to drown you. But knowing who he is going to keep you, because the next deed he's going to do is not going to sustain you, because it will sustain you until then. Until then. And until then. And that's why we have so many Christians that fall off, because God's deeds are good enough until then. We have to be people who go, God, I want to know your ways. Teach me your ways. Israel was satisfied with the deeds. Moses knew his ways. How many of us here, when's the last time we have asked God to show us his ways and to teach us his ways? We can't be and have this transformed year without knowing the one who transforms us. You can't. You can't. You can change your job, more as a transition, but you can't have a transformation without knowing who's transforming you, because it actually comes from the inside. So you can't. And so this is why it's like a prelude, because you can't. So the going towards what we're actually going to be speaking about and going into this year is, God, show me your ways. Because that's what we want from him. We want to know who he is. Because only when we know who he is will we know who we are. Because that's who he's created us to be. So there's different ways we can hear his voice. Because we can't hear his voice unless we know who he is. It doesn't activate his voice. So there's different ways we can hear his voice. Through his word, through prayer, through creation, a small inner voice that we feel on the inside of us, loud voice, however you might hear God. But if you're not hearing God, I will ask you, when's the last time you sat with him and said, show me your ways, teach me your ways? Because we can blame God for so many things. God, where are you? I haven't seen you. You're distant. I've been asking you. Show me your ways. Teach me your ways. Do you know his ways? Do you know what he likes? Do you know what he's like? Do you know what the word says about him? If we want to be people who live in God's true joy, this is God's true joy. fruit of that? Yes, happiness. But God's true joy bypasses all of that, regardless of what you feel. His true joy is by remembering what he's done. That's the first thing. Remember what he's done for you. Remember how far you've come. Regardless of what you're going through, you could be going through some stuff that you go, you know what, I don't even feel good enough to be standing here right now, whatever that may be. But he's brought you so far. So remember where he's brought you. And when we remember, we tap into the heartbeat of who he really is. When we tap into the heartbeat of who he really is, we realize how much he loves us. And when we realize how much he loves us, we want to sit with him and we want to talk to him. And we want to sit and we want to talk to him. We want to know who he is. And when we know who he is, we want to be obedient to him, don't we? And when we want to be obedient to him, we want to surrender to him. And we want to be fully dependent on him. And when we're fully dependent on him, we're in full humility. And when we're in full humility with him, well, we're people that are transformed. But that only starts when we hear from him and that we remember him and we remember what he does. It starts there, remembering what he's done and asking him, teach me your ways. So if we're looking for the next miracle, the next healing, the next deliverance, the next encounter, the next conference high, they're all great and they're all fruits, but if it's not leading you to Jesus, where's it leading you? Where is it leading you? Elton and I walked around 30,000 steps, led us nowhere. We got sore calves, did not transform our calves. All we did was get sore calves. Nothing. We got nothing out of it. Because you're following sign after sign after sign, leads you nowhere. But sore calves. So really nothing. When you're following sign after sign after sign after sign, and it doesn't lead you to the one that actually does the sign, nothing. It doesn't get you anywhere. There was a story about a tightrope guy. You all know how I am with stories, so I'm going to try and get this right. There was a guy who was great with tightrope walking. He put it between the tightrope, between two buildings. You're all going, oh no. I think the girls told me never to tell stories up here. This was just last week. So he did the tightrope and he was saying to everyone, who wants to see me walk this tightrope with no like harness and nothing? And they were like, yeah. We all want to see it. Who thinks I can do it? Yeah. We all think you can do it. Do you really think I can do it? Yeah. Okay, I'll see you tomorrow morning. Comes tomorrow morning. Do you all think I can do it? Yeah. Okay, I'm going to do it. But do you really think I'm going to do it? Yeah. And everyone's getting frustrated. Just do it already. Yeah, I can do it. Do you all think I can do it and hold on to nothing and hold, you know, no ropes, whatever they're called. Yeah, do it. And then he turns around and he goes, okay, if everybody thinks I can do it, who wants to come with me? No one. Everyone's sort of like looking at their shoes, looking at the ground, looking everywhere else. Don't answer him. He's like, but if you all think I can do it, why does no one want to come with me? Everyone's looking around. No one's looking at him. No one's directly looking at him. And he picks this boy that's down the front. And he goes, I'm going to choose this boy and I'm going to bring him with me. Everyone's like, oh. Picks up this boy, has this boy with him, and he starts to walk one at a time, slowly, carrying this boy. And everyone's like, oh, it's exciting because he's doing it. And he gets to the other side and everyone's like, who is this boy? He's so brave. This boy just let him carry him. Who is this boy? And someone turns around and goes, I know who this boy is. It's his son. This boy knew his father, trusted his father. Nobody else knew this man. Otherwise, they would have trusted him. If you don't know your father, you don't trust him. So then you're sitting here in doubt. And then you're anxious. And then you don't know when the next provision is going to come from because you don't know his ways. Because when you know his ways, it doesn't matter what the outcome is because you trust his ways for your life higher than your own thoughts and logic. The disciples went to their own logic with their loaf of bread. He was just like, I wanted you to remember who that was so you knew who I am. I don't care about your bread. I don't care where it came from. I don't care how many loaves you got. I just want your heart cleared and I want you to see who I am. That's all I want. I don't care about your bread, but I'm trying to show you what I can do so you can know me. The signs and the love and everything he's trying to give you, he just goes, just know me. He doesn't create your disasters and what happens in your life, but he goes, but I'm here for you. I want you to know me. That's what he says to you. Because if you trust him, it doesn't matter what happens to you. Because you'll know he loves you. Israel missed out on what Moses had, but they had every invitation to get what Moses had. You have the same invitation to have what Moses has. So when you leave here today, God, show me your ways. Teach me your ways. That's the question. That's the lead into this year. That's the only way you're going to get transformed. That's the only way you're going to allow the folds to happen. That's the only way you're going to know you're chosen. And I can't say what Sky's speaking next week, so I don't know. But that's the only way you're going to know is when you know his ways. The only way. So if you're struggling with that, with trust this morning, I'll get the band up. Sorry, guys. I'll get you guys up now. I could sit here and say if we're self-centered, if you have yourself at the center, and all of us like to think in this day and age we're not really self-centered. So we'll bypass that. So I'm not going to say if you're self-centered. If you are self-centered, you'll know. But if you complain a lot, if you are somebody who complains a lot, if something happens to you and then you complain, or if something's going on and then you're good and then you complain, if you find yourself complaining about things, a little bit like the Israelites were always complaining, if that's you this morning, we're going to just pray for people this morning. So I'm going to get the band to be playing. Because there's an invitation this morning to go a little bit deeper. So it's not a funny thing if you're a complainer. And it's there's legitimately, you could be somebody who always sees a different side. You're not actually seeing that God's trying to show you who he is. You're seeing everything that's not happening in your world. You're seeing everything that God's not answering in your world. You're seeing all the unanswered stuff versus every good thing that he's done in your world. Every good thing that he is. Every good thing that he's done. You're not remembering that. You're remembering everything else. If that is you, we're praying for you this morning. If it's pride at the center, if it's your wants, your needs, and you're more consumed with the outward appearance, you're more consumed with what you do, with what you don't, with what people see of you, with how you look, with how you're perceived, with what people see. And we're praying for you this morning. I think I might just open. I'll get you all to stand. I'll open the altar. If what God hasn't done for you speaks louder than what he's done for you, and that you've put yourself then at the center. Because what happens is when what God hasn't done for you speaks louder than what he has done for you, we then try to control stuff because we're scared. And that's what the self-preservation is, and that's part of the leaven of Herod. So we self-preserve and then we control. And then we put ourselves in the way. And we don't even know that we're doing it because we're just scared. We're scared of the answers that God might give. We're scared of what hasn't happened. So if that speaks louder to you this morning than what he has done, so if you're someone who always sees the other side, who complains a lot, who is satisfied for a little bit, then complains. If you're someone who has yourself at the center because of your wants and your needs, what you're seen as, how people will perceive you, It's hard to say I've got pride because nobody wants to admit they've got pride. And I'm not going to ask you which one you are down here, so you don't have to tell me you have pride. But if that's you and that's something that's weighing on you that you want to get rid of, the altar's open here. And if it's someone that what speaks louder to you is what God hasn't done over what he has done, and you want to get rid of that and you want to go, you know what? I just want to know your ways. I want to break all of this off. I want to break off the leaven of Herod. I want to break off the leaven of the Pharisees. And I just want to know you deeper. The altar's open. I think we'll just, if you come to my left and you want prayer, if you come to my right and you just want to spend time with God, you can just do that. So we're just going to give like 5 minutes in that time. So the second group, you want to go deeper and you want to go, you know what, I just want to know God's ways. That's where I want to be for 2025. I'll pray for that. And if you want to spend time with God on my right, or if you want prayer on my left, but thank you, Father God. We just thank you, Lord, that we want to be people that know your ways, Father. Every single one of us that leave here today, may we want to know, put that desire in our hearts to know your ways, to know who you are, to know what you like, to know what you're like, to know your character. May we be people who know who you are. May everything that you've done lead us to you. May everything that we see in your creation, everything that we look at, lead us to you. May everything that has either gone wrong in our lives or right in our lives lead us to get to know who you are. May everything in our lives lead us to you. And may we live out of the joy of knowing who you are. I pray, Father, if anything is going on in the hearts of anybody here today, that it needs to be ministered to, it needs to